Welcome back to Sort of Sophisticated, the podcast, and I quote, rooted in becoming more cultured and curious, Amanda, where we endeavor to suspend judgment, expand our worldview, and explore new topics that will help us learn to appreciate varying perspectives and values. That was the original thesis anyway, right? Now we just talk about shit that's interesting and hopefully makes you the life of the party. Because who doesn't want to be the life of a party, people? Am I right? I'm Pete, and with me, as always, is Amanda.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. Yeah. We're starting already, like right away?
I guess
you're not
so.
Screwing around.
Well, I'm just trying to get into the spirit, man. Got to warm up the French vibes.
Okay, well, spoiler alert. Apparently, Amanda just leaked our whole topic today with the whole French vibes thing. Thanks for that.
Chill out.
Fine, but wait. Before we go into like all things France, I have a question.
Of course you do. What?
I have a lot of questions.
You always
have
questions.
I'm full of questions.
You are full
okay.
of questions.
Have you ever had one of those moments where you're like absolutely convinced like you made the right choice, but then like 2 seconds later you like immediately regret it?
Are you talking about buyer's remorse?
Yeah, that thing.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay.
So like every time I buy something on Amazon?
Okay, perfect. Yes. But I mean like big, like life altering big.
I can't say that I really do, Peter, but I feel like you do.
I do. So, I have something to share.
What is this?
I gave up Diet Coke for Lent. So like I thought, you know, like this will be good for me. Like I'll feel healthier. I'll prove like I have willpower. And I'm dying. I can't even think straight.
I mean, of course, because you are totally addicted to caffeine and your rum and Coke and all the things. So are you just trying to kill yourself?
Right? I didn't realize, Amanda, how much my entire personality depended on friggin' Diet Coke.
But like regular Coke's fine?
No. No.
So you got rid of all Coke?
Yes. Of course, that's the idea. I guess, but I only drink Diet Coke. But yes, that's the whole idea. Okay, like, I think if I heard the, like, sound of a Diet Coke can opening right now, I might, like, totally orgy, if you know
what
I
mean. Oh, my God. Settle down. Right? But have you, like, replaced the Diet Coke with something else? Or are you just, like, drinking more water now?
Oh, no, like, I totally do.
Alcohol.
No. I drink 100 ounces a day. Like, it's brutal. I go to the bathroom every 30 minutes. It's stupid. I plan my day around going to the bathroom.
You have planned your day around when you have to go to the bathroom for a while now, but we don't
need
to talk about
that. I know.
It's
totally
old man bladder.
It's old man bladder, and then it's like drink 100 ounces of water. So I can't wait to at least go back to Diet Coke where I'm only drinking like, you know, 3 Diet Cokes a day, getting my, what is that, 36 ounces of liquid, and it's all good, right?
We're gonna call it a win because drinking that much water is very good for your body. But I do have a quick question.
What?
Do you drink your water with ice?
I totally drink my water with ice. Everybody drinks their water with ice.
Everybody does not drink their water with ice. It's
everybody
better.
In America drinks their water with
and
ice.
And this is why the Frenchies hate you. Because
Oh. You're
not, I'm pretty sure
Wow. You're
not supposed to drink your water
First
with ice.
First of all, I love the way you just completely just tore me apart and just like got back on track with this episode. And two, are we even allowed to call them Frenchies?
I have no idea.
Oh, we need to figure that out.
It does sound a little bit degrading. So we're going to have to ask.
All right. We got to hold that thought.
Okay. All Can right. I introduce our special guest?
I think it's about freaking time. Like, I've gone long enough.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I agree. So we are honored today to have in the studio with us all the way from the town of Toulouse in southwestern France. I mean, actually, he lives here in Huntington Beach, but he grew up in Toulouse. So here is our dear friend, Eric Marty. Hello, Eric.
Hello. That's me. Thanks first to both of you for inviting me today. It's really a pleasure to be here.
First of all, I want to apologize for taking 15 minutes before we introduced Eric.
Yeah, because Eric's the best part of this whole
My
episode.
Bad, yo. We love you, Eric. Thanks for coming. And before we start, you have to give me like a 10-second bio on like your background or who you are and why you're even here today, please.
Sure. I'm sure I can do that. I was born in the mid-60s in France.
Oh, my God. In the 60s? In the 1960s?
I know. Mid-60s, though.
Hold, please. Amanda. Are we allowed to have like old people in our studio?
I think it's perfect.
Thank you,
isn't it,
Peter?
Isn't it awesome?
You tell him, Eric.
Isn't it awesome that we have three generations in the studio?
I love it.
Oh my God, we have Grandpa, then we have Dad, and then we have
Grandpa.
Okay,
no.
I'm kidding. Sorry. Continue.
First of all, it's a luxury to get old. Okay, it's not a luxury that is given
like
to everybody.
I like the way you said that.
So,
I'm into that. Yes.
So I'm into that.
Way to clock me.
So, like I was saying before, I was interrupted.
Yeah. So rudely.
This is going to be
thank
bad.
You, thank you. To you know, I was born in the mid '60s in France, and I've been living in the U.S. since 1996. You can do the math, right? That's almost 30 years now, which I spent almost half of my life in the U.S. I grew up in the southwest of France, in a village called La Salvetat-Saint-Gilles. It's located 30 minutes drive from Toulouse.
Wait a second. I need to know. You just said village.
village.
Like it's is, like a small,
small
like
town.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like you grew up in a small little town.
Yeah.
Like not in Paris or anything.
Not in Paris.
All right.
No,
so you're like a Paris. You're like a country. You would call
oh,
this a
I'm
country.
I'm a country boy.
Oh, oh,
no.
Oh, let's go.
You know,
I love it.
I want to go so bad.
I grew up in a pig farm.
No.
Yeah.
What?
A pig farm.
Yeah.
Oh, this is excellent.
This
oh, there's so much.
Yeah,
hey,
know.
This is going to be rich. Today's going to be rich, full of pig.
That's why
stories.
I know so much about sausage and.
Let's go.
Oh, that makes so much more sense.
And now I know why you married my sister. This makes perfect sense because
wow.
her
well,
mother
was,
grew up
know.
On a
oh.
dairy farm.
I thought you were going.
No, her mother grew up on a dairy farm. My mom.
Oh.
On a dairy farm in Ohio.
Really?
Yeah, they're both
oh.
a bunch of country bumpkins hanging yeah. out together.
I'm not a farmer anymore, though. I
right.
was
well,
never a farmer.
Obviously.
But I grew up in a farm, right?
Yes.
And just to give you an idea about Toulouse, you know how big Toulouse is?
I have no idea.
It's the fourth biggest city in France. It's very well known for the being the European capital of aerospace. Airbus is in Toulouse. And,
really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And
wait,
so
but you said that it was a village and that it's small.
No, no, no. 30 minutes so, outside.
Oh, okay, understood.
The village where I grew up was La Salvetat-Saint-Gilles, and it's like half an hour drive from Toulouse.
Gotcha.
And Toulouse, it's the fourth biggest city in France, so it's a pretty big city, well known for the aerospace, and also very well known for the rugby team that they have. It's, I would say, the best rugby team in Europe.
Oh, shit, we just did an episode of we just did Six Nations Tournament.
We did.
And by the way, shout out to France for winning the Six Nations Tournament. Like I predicted. Let's go. Hey, okay, so I have a question for you, Eric. Are we allowed to call you Frenchie, or was that already a bad way to start the whole episode when we said Frenchie?
Well, because I've been married with your sister.
Unfortunately, you have, yes.
I know. Mm-hmm. That makes you my brother-in-law, right?
Kill me now, yes.
And if you translate brother-in-law in French, it's beau-frère.
Beau-frère?
Beau-frère, yes.
Beau-frère.
And if you translate back beau-frère from French to English, is beautiful brother. So that means that, I didn't know if you knew that, but I'm your beautiful brother.
Wow. You're but my today, beautiful pig farming brother. This is excellent.
But today, if you want, you can call me Frenchie.
I
will be okay with it.
I would much rather call you beau frère. Because
I mean,
that
I'm just saying,
so,
for all of our listeners who can't
so
visually
cool.
see,
right.
I'm going to give it to Eric. He is the more beautiful of the brother-in-law.
Wow. Okay.
In slang, we would say, buff. He's the buff. So, hey, this is my buff.
This is my buff. Okay.
And this is my buff, Eric. Or this is my buff, Pete.
Okay, I'm going to do that from now on. I've learned, I feel sort of sophisticated already, Amanda.
So proud of you. Okay, are you quite done over there, Peter?
I'm done, yes.
Okay. Because if you are, we can move on and do Word of the Day.
Oh, shit. We forgot Word of the Day. Yes. We have to get better at that. We need to.
I think we do just
we
fine
never
at
added
it. You
the
just,
jingle.
You just
I know, but
like
we have to remind each other all the time. Okay, Eric. So this is where we like pick like a random word. That's just in English, not like a normal word we use every day, like a hard word. And we try to find a way to work it into the episode and not make it look like it was hard to do. We like try to pretend like we know what we're talking about. Does this make sense so far? Everybody tracking?
I mean.
Okay. All right. So our word of today is mawkish.
Is this anything like gawkish?
Okay. If I knew what gawkish meant. Well, then maybe.
Oh, come on. You can figure it out. Gawk, like to stare at or in amazement.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And
like,
then ish.
Okay,
you got the ish?
I'm going on record. Like, I don't think that's a word. I know what gawk is, but I don't think gawkish.
You can add ish to anything.
Okay.
Good ish.
It doesn't matter. It's not even close.
Bad ish.
This is one of those things where, like, you know, sometimes you nail it. Sometimes you hit the word of the day right on that. You're like, oh, is it anything like this? And sometimes you nail it 50-50. You just blew it completely.
Okay, well, I don't know what mock.
Mawkish means overly sentimental. In a way that feels forced or like way too sweet.
Yeah, is this M-O-C-K or M-A-W-K?
M-A-W-K-I-S-H, mawkish.
Because I mean like M-O-C-K would make sense, right?
No, this
like
is
they're
not
mocking
like, yeah,
your
okay.
feelings.
This isn't the Mickey Mouse Club.
Okay,
like,
fine.
That, like, okay.
Okay, I got it. Let's
yeah.
go.
All right.
Okay.
Like, I'm totally mawkish. Like, can we just start?
Yes. Okay, so let's go. Why don't you go ahead and tell us, please, how is learning about French culture going to make us more cultured, Pete?
Because France rules.
Well, yes.
It's like the epicenter of culture. Eric, am I right?
Of course you are.
Yeah, let's go. Okay, learning how to survive in France without looking like a clueless tourist, Amanda, is totally an art form that you need to learn. And Eric's going to give us a little lesson today. I figure if we can learn how to navigate at least some of France's social norms, I can promise that we can pretty much handle almost any sophisticated setting around the world. Because let's be real, people. France is the ultimate when it comes to sophistication. Plus, Amanda, it's about respect. When we make an effort to understand another's culture's customs, we're showing that we can appreciate other perspectives, which, Amanda, is why we started the show in the first place.
Totally. And the good news is we don't even have to be fluent in French. We just have to know what not to do. And we're just going to bring Eric along to be our backup, of course. So I think we're all ready.
I think that's a good idea. For those of you listening at home who can't see Eric, he's happens to be about 6'5". And
the better looking of the two of you, yes.
And is completely and totally ripped. So there's that, too. Okay, I got a table.
I like Amanda already.
Right? I know. This is a bunch of horseshit. It's because she spent a year with me. She doesn't like me much anymore.
That's not true at all.
This is what happens to two co-hosts.
Eric
spend
is
too much together.
I'm very intrigued. That's
okay,
all.
Fine.
Let's go.
Can I table of contents this shit right now so we know what we're getting through in this episode, please?
I mean, it's going to calm your ADHD,
yeah,
so sure, go for it.
Okay, so first we're going to talk about how to greet people and not get bitch slapped, okay, because that's important. So lock and load, Eric. Then we're going to move on to how to not be stupid in a little French cafe when you order coffee, because I figure that's important to know. Then we're going to talk about what to wear, how to order food, and finally some language hacks so you don't get a shit ton of eye rolls from everybody when you go there, because I have no idea how to sound even remotely normal in France. Make sense?
I don't know if Pete knows how to sound remotely normal in regular
Anywhere.
Life. Right. But, you know.
Wow. Okay. So, Eric, this is where you butt in and tell us if we're on the right track. Got it?
I'm in.
Thank you. Okay. Let's start with saying hello. Because as soon as you get there, you better be ready to say hello. So, in America, obviously, we're all about handshakes. Well, not me personally. I'm a total hug and kiss guy, but I'm totally in the minority. We know that. In France, it's all about, how do you say this? La bise? The little kiss thing? How do you say that, Eric?
Yeah, la bise.
La bise. Okay, I said that right. The kiss on the cheek thing. So how do we do it? And when do we do it? Because I don't want to go in for a kiss and accidentally overdo it and get slapped in the face or anything. So give me the down low, Eric, please.
Yeah, so first I would say observe what's going on, right? And we either shake the right hand or we do la bise.
Oh, shit. You do shake hands?
Of course we do shake hands.
Well, I don't know. I'm trying to be cultured over here.
If I go to work and I don't know really anyone, I'm going to start giving a kiss
okay.
to
all right. First
right?
of all, you're making me feel better already. I thought you literally had to kiss everybody.
No,
you
know? No.
Okay.
And in fact, if you would have let me tell you the second sentence.
Oh, I'm already
shut your mouth.
Wow. Holy shit. Go.
I would say that shaking the hand, you know, if you don't know the people, usually you're going to shake the hand. If you know the people, you're gonna do la bise, especially if it's family.
Yeah.
Definitely, you're gonna do the bise. If it's a friend, you're gonna do la bise. And otherwise, if you don't know people, you're gonna shake hands.
Okay. I also love how confident the men are in their masculinity, where they don't have to worry about should I give this guy a kiss on the cheek? No, you own it and you do it. Yes.
Yeah.
So how when do you decide you know someone? How many times do you have to meet someone before la bise happens?
You just observe, right? And usually it's pretty fast.
Okay.
You know, if you become friends and
okay.
After a few times,
All right, it's pretty quick. You don't have to be intimate friends. You just have to see them a few times, get to know them a little bit, and then boom.
If it's in the friend zone, it's a walking zone, you're going to shake hands. You're going to say hi and you're going to shake hands.
Yeah.
And now,
this is the same for girls and guys. So if you're friends with girls and guys, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
And now things have evolved. I've been living here for quite a while. And to be honest with you, it may have changed the last 20 years that I've been living here. When I go back to France, I spend a lot of time with my family and my friends. I don't really know, what's
cultural.
Going on. Yeah.
Appropriate.
It may have changed, right? And then also one thing that depending on the area that you come from, in Toulouse, la bise is two kisses. So we'd give a kiss first on the right side of the cheek and then on the left side. And that's it. But in Paris, it's three kisses, and there are different depending the area. In France, it can be up to four kisses, which I believe four. It's a little bit too much, but that's the way it is.
That's a lot of kisses.
Yeah, that's a lot of kisses.
I love though how it's regional. How you know where you're from.
You got to know before you go, man.
It's true.
Well, I'm just glad I can shake people's hands. I was freaking out there for a minute.
Yeah, but how about hugs? Can you hug?
No, we don't really hug. We don't really hug in France. We kiss. Right. We kiss or we shake hands.
I'm a big hugger.
I know. You're going to get beat up. That's
okay.
All I know.
All right, but I can shake hands. So I'm just going to pull back a little bit. I'm not going to go in for the hug. I'm going to do la bise or I'm going to do the handshake. I think I'm in. I got this.
Yes. Let's not be like Emily in Paris, though, when she meets Camille and ends up kissing her on the lips by accident.
Did you see? I love that. That was one of my favorite scenes in Emily in Paris. It's super uncomfortable and excellent, and I love the way they do that.
I do want to know Eric's thoughts on Emily in Paris.
Did you ever watch Emily in Paris or no?
No, I never watched it.
Yeah, see?
But it's honestly, it's younger gen kind of thing. I'm not shitting on you at
it's
all because it's even younger. It's my daughter's age stuff.
Yes.
But it is, I think, honestly, if you're, I know this sounds so, whatever, trite. I don't know if I'm using the right word. But like, if you like are going to go, you should watch that show because it does explain a lot and show you like a lot to help you like along for sure. Totally.
Okay. So in Emily in Paris, Eric, they are always at a coffee shop. So I feel like if I went to France, I would have to learn how to order coffee. Is that such a thing? Do you drink coffee?
Yeah. You know, rule number one, and certainly the most important rule when you are in France, it's don't worry about anything. And especially...
Don't worry about anything?
Yeah.
What do you mean don't worry about anything?
Don't worry, be happy?
Don't rush.
I got you.
You know, just take your time. Be chill.
Be chill.
I don't know if I would survive in France.
For you, Peter, we're screwed. It's going to be number one. It's going to be difficult.
Your beau frère can't relax.
Remember, you're on vacation, right? You're on vacation.
Okay.
You go to a Starbucks. First of all, we don't even go to Starbucks. I don't know. I don't go to Starbucks when I go to France. I would go to a cafe.
Why would you go to Starbucks if you're in France?
Do they have Starbucks in France?
Yeah, certainly for American people.
Oh my God. That's how you know who's American?
Touché.
That was classic. Stay out of Starbucks.
You know, in fact, you know, I wanted to tell you my entire experience in France. I never order a coffee at a Starbucks. And I never order also a coffee to go. Ever.
Because you want to go to like an authentic cafe.
You want to go to an authentic cafe, yeah. And which is, you're going to spend some time. You're going to spend, I don't know, you have half an hour to kill. You're going to stop at the local bar and you're going to park your car and you're going to walk in and you're going to order a cafe, which would be an espresso. And if you want something different than espresso, you're going to have to mention it. You're going to have to say, I want a cafe allongé or I want a cafe with milk.
What is this? What does that mean?
And it's a long coffee.
Long?
Like an Americano.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Americano, though, has water, right?
No.
Okay. American Americano
totally
has water.
Americano, it's just that there is more water when you make the coffee out of it, right?
Oh, okay.
And it's an allongé café. Allongé in French means extended. That's the translation allongé to extended coffee, right? But if you order a café at a bar, you're going to get an espresso. If you want milk, you're going to have to ask for it. Otherwise, they will not serve the milk. And usually, you will go to the bar. You will order the cafe at the counter. You won't sit at the table. You would go at the counter, and then you would chat with the people at the counter.
I love it.
And you will talk about, the event of the day. Or
rugby.
Usually,
rugby people.
Yeah, more likely, if you are in Toulouse, you would talk about rugby or soccer. Soccer.
So this
football.
Is not, you don't like, if you have 5 minutes and you want to get a coffee, you don't go to a bar here. You have to have a half hour to chill.
Well, we drink the coffee at home. If you want to drink a coffee, you make your coffee at
because
home.
Because it's like an experience is what you're trying to explain.
Yeah,
it's more of an experience.
If you want to drive with coffee, you would certainly get the coffee from home and drive to work with your coffee. You won't stop like we do here in the U.S. at the drive-thru or the Starbucks just to get a coffee.
It's because here's the problem, Eric, because people in America are lazy and they don't want to make their own coffee. And so we make Starbucks so they can drive through. But I totally get your vibe, which is like a way better vibe. All right. I'm not a coffee guy. But like, are there places in America where like you can get the same vibe as like in France where you just go to like the bar and have a coffee and just chill? Or not really?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Do you, Amanda, have you known any of these or no?
No.
No? Okay,
oh, no,
I don't know.
That's not true.
Should we open
I feel
one?
Like,
I feel like maybe
no,
there's like a...
I feel like there's, no, the micro, like microbrewery, not microbreweries, micro cafes, where like Morning Lavender or Ola Cafe or like little
right,
White
so
Sparrow,
maybe.
Like tiny,
okay.
Tiny little...
I was talking to you earlier, right? That
yeah.
I find a very good place in Costa Mesa. It's a brasserie.
Yeah. Hey, wait, hold on. What the hell's a brasserie?
The brasserie is basically it's a French cafe that serves food. And the food that they serve, it's kind of a fast food.
Yeah.
But has nothing to do with burger. It's just something that the menu is not that big. Usually they have a great meat. They would have a ribeye with French fries and with special sauces. And they would have three or four different items.
Did you just say fast food is ribeye with French fries?
No, it's not.
I love France.
It's not.
I'm moving to France.
And so that brasserie in Costa Mesa, can I give the name of it?
Sure.
It's Butcher's House.
Shout out, Butcher House. What is
how
it?
Did you
what
know
did you just look that up?
Amanda.
The Butcher. Let's go.
I did.
Shout out to the Butcher House. We want advertising money, please. Thank you. Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
That place, honestly, it's really legit. It's
So they serve fabulous. Coffee there, and you can chill out and so do your thing.
It's basically a French cafe / brasserie, and you can go to the bar. Most of the waiter and waitresses that work over there, they are French or they speak French. The owner is a French guy from Toulouse.
Really?
Yes.
That's amazing.
And I discovered this place like maybe 3-4 months ago. My son mentioned to me that, hey, Dad, there is a brasserie close to where I live.
What is the word brasserie? What does it translate to in English? Do you know? Is it really the butcher? Does it mean the butcher shop or no? It means something else.
No, so the butcher shop, it's because the owner specializes in meats, and he has nice beef that he serves. And one of the things that is very cool, that is very authentic, is that all the meat that he grills the meat on charcoals. In fact, it's not even charcoal.
Okay, so that's what it means then. That's the brasserie means the way he
cooks. No.
What?
No, brasserie means brewery.
Brewery,
yeah. So
to brew,
so
interesting.
They also have some beers on those brasseries.
It's a little bit of everything. They got coffee, they got beer, they got ribeyes. I gotta go to this place.
Yes, but is brasserie? It's more so because you brew coffee as well,
correct?
Right. So is it more on like the brewing of coffee or the brewing of beer?
I think both. Certainly. But again, keep that in mind. It's a restaurant where you can have a menu. It's not a very large menu, and it's something pretty simple but pretty good.
Yeah.
And
I mean, the menu looks fantastic.
Dude, the fact that there's ribeye on the menu, I'm in.
And the steak au poivre, oh my God.
Amanda.
We're
going there.
Let's go.
Yeah, you guys have to go.
Next.
Next time.
Let's just go right now.
I know.
They're only open 5 tonight.
Let's cut this episode. Let's get the hell out of here. Okay, I'm moving on, people.
I made a reservation.
When?
Tomorrow.
You did?
Your sister is traveling.
Yeah. Well, if I wasn't mad at my sister, I would go.
I'm gonna pick her
That's
up.
That's wonderful.
I'm gonna pick her up at the airport at 7 o'clock at Santa Ana, at
John Airport. Oh, and then.
And we're gonna go directly from there to my.
He's so romantic.
Brasserie.
Is he?
Gosh.
Well, time out. We don't know if she likes it. She might not like. I gotta ask her.
How could she not like it?
I gotta ask her.
How could she not like it?
All right. She had been there already 3 times.
Yeah, she's doing it because she's nice to you. She loves you.
No, she loves it.
No, I'm asking her separate from you.
They also
I will report back.
They make fresh homemade sausage.
Oh, so this is right up your alley.
So he's my alley.
Right.
That's where I come from.
Right. And he's from like the same area, so he should.
Hang out. Yeah, they're both from that.
Have you hung out with him outside of just visiting the shop?
No, I mean that I met the owner maybe the second.
Wait,
should
we know the owner's name? So wait, we got to shout out to this guy apparently. Then what's this guy's name?
Oh yeah, his name is Geoffrey.
Geoffrey, Chef Geoffrey.
Chef Geoffrey.
Look at this. Yes, let's go. I love this.
I think it was the third time that I've been there, and I said, you know what? If the owner is from Toulouse and I'm from Toulouse, I need to meet the owner. And I asked the waitress and said. Where is the owner? I said, well, he's at the bar right now, you know, having a drink with his friend. So I finished having dinner with my wife. And then when we're almost
my
ready
sister.
To leave with your sister, we stopped by and my glass of wine was not empty yet. So I grabbed my glass of wine and I went to finish my glass of wine talking and introduce myself to Geoffrey, the owner. Right.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going over there. We're going to tell him about this podcast. We're going to tell him to listen to this episode that we shouted out to him. We're gonna get to know this dude. He's gonna love us for all the free advertising. All right, and we're gonna hang out.
I'm gonna
chill and learn French culture. Yes. I love this. All right, I'm moving on because you people are crazy. We did coffee. We did saying hello. Okay. What did I do next? Table of contents. It was what to wear. Okay, what to wear so we don't get laughed at.
So here in France, it's all about like culture, right? But is the vibe like messy but intentional? Like the idea that you just kind of threw something together and it just so happened to look fabulous and put together? Like your hair sort of messed up, but you accessorized it and the best shoes in the world and you just happened to be wearing them and voila. You just hit the streets and you go grocery shopping and you're just like, amazing. Is that how it works?
Totally. It's just come natural to us.
Oh my God, stop it.
But I can tell you, it's very easy
kill me
to
now.
Spot American people.
Thank you so much.
They wear their baseball hat. They have their flip-flop. And
what's wrong with a baseball hat?
If you're American, I guess you can wear it.
Oh, my God. And you're shitting
so
on flip-flops.
It's so bad because I wore a baseball hat yesterday.
You know, Peter, the reason why we don't wear our baseball hat?
Why? I have no idea.
Because we don't play baseball.
Okay. There's that.
That makes sense.
That
right.
makes sense.
That tracks.
Right? Oh, yeah. And
but then, do you all like wear the beret? Right. Everyone wears a beret.
Le beret. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Exactly. Le beret is the French hat, right? That you won't see that in Paris, but you will see people from the south of France. It would be very curious to find out the origin of when the beret was wear first, but definitely the beret and the baguette, it's kind of the image of the French guy,
yeah.
right?
Wait, the baguette is a
so the
is
baguette
a hat?
The baguette would be the bread.
Yeah,
a baguette
you got a bread
is,
with
a,
the beret.
It's a loaf of bread.
And sometimes
beret,
black and white stripes.
And that would be the image of the Frenchman, right?
Yeah. Oh, so good.
Yeah.
So is fashion different than in the south of France versus like the big city?
Yeah. So what I would say that in the big cities, the men like to dress up. And they will dress up all the way from, you know, wearing nice shoes, nice belts, nice socks. And they will wear a suit. The ladies, they like to dress sexy too. They are not afraid of showing skin and cleavage in the summer.
I'm sorry, did you say cleavage?
I said cleavage.
I'm excited.
This is why Pete has to go.
How do I get on a plane to France?
In fact, in the summer, it would be pretty common that a woman would not wear a bra. And we like it. Why not to like
I'm
that,
moving.
Right?
Yeah. I'm selling my house.
Let's go.
I'm moving to France. Okay, wait. I looked up the origin of the beret, people.
Okay.
Stay with me. The beret is a soft, round, flat-covered hat. Well, yeah, we know all that part. Okay. It started in the Bronze Age, thousands of years ago. Wow. It became particularly common among shepherds in the Basque region. Where's the Basque region?
The Basque region, it's in the southwest of France.
Okay.
Biarritz, you know, a surfer maybe that our listener listening today, they know where Biarritz is. That's the Basque region. Pampelune, I don't know if you guys heard about Pampelune, where they have the
Running of the Bulls in Spain.
The bull. It's in,
oh, because the Basque region, yes, because Basque region covers a little bit of France, a little bit of Spain. Yeah. So apparently it came from because these shepherds were freezing and they crafted berets of wool to keep warm. So all the way back thousands of years ago, Bronze Age. There you go. Boom. We're sort of sophisticated. So wait, get back on track, people.
Okay. So on the sad note, you know, since I was mentioning...
Wait, on a side note or a sad note?
Sad,
like, are you sad right now?
No, how can I be sad?
On a side note.
I'm
okay,
with my
side.
Beau-frère.
Okay. Hey, you know, you're making me more cultured. I couldn't help but just like shit on like one little like accent thing you had. Go ahead. On a side note, hit it.
I cannot be happier than what I'm right now.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Oh, so good.
And so what I was trying to say there is the men and women, they will definitely dress up more in the big city than on the smaller city or outside of the city, where they will wear, you know, regular clothes like jeans and shirt that would be pretty common. Just to give you an idea, we don't have too many big cities in France. The five biggest cities in France that have more than 1 million people are Paris, Lyon, Marseille, Toulouse, the city where I come from, and Bordeaux. You know, if you go to those cities,
they're all hooked up.
They will dress up pretty.
They are messy but intentional, Amanda, I think, is the thing. All right, anything else on how to dress? Otherwise, it's time for us to order some food in a French restaurant, right? Okay, wait, I have a question already.
Of course you do.
Am I allowed to have a Diet Coke in France, Eric, please?
Yeah, I guess you can.
I can?
Of course you can, but, you know, most of French people, they will not order that for sure.
Wait, am I going to get made fun of?
No,
maybe.
But, you know,
no, he will.
You know, if you ask me what a French man will order at the bar,
no,
you know,
because they're more masculine than you.
They will order wine, or they will order a drink that is sort of sophisticated.
Yeah.
Oh, he just did that.
Yeah.
I did
it. Oh, let's go. All right, what's a drink that's sort of sophisticated? Give me something I could order in France. Like, so I have to order wine?
A Perrier Mont.
A what?
A Perrier Mont.
What is that?
So it's a Perrier bubbly water.
Yes.
With
sparkly water.
With a syrup of mint.
Oh, okay.
And it's very refreshing.
Okay,
and,
very fun.
And it's a pretty common drink to have during the summer when it's warm.
Interesting. All right, fine.
I'm here for it. It's delicious.
All right, I'm going to try that, but then my backup's going to be Diet Coke. I'm ready for any of the consequences to come along with that because I just have to deal with that and people just make fun of me in the back or something when they pass me the Diet Coke. I don't really care. Okay, but what do I really need to know about ordering food? Like, give me the whole, like, dinner experience in general, please, Eric. Like, let's go.
Okay, you know, remember earlier the rule number one It's just take your time. Never rush a meal.
Everything is take your time with you, dude. Amanda, I go over to this guy's house for dinner. It's like a random Tuesday night or something, right? And it's like I'm trying to get in and out, right? I get over there at like 6:30, 7 o'clock. I'm exhausted. I just came home from work. I want to stay for an hour and go home. No. Dude, he hasn't even started making. He's like, he's just prepping dinner.
But
if I go over to his house, I'm going to be there for three. I know, but he does. He lives in Huntington Beach, for Christ's sake.
Amanda, listen, you know what I could. I would love it.
Do you know what I did once? I invited him and his family for Thanksgiving. Early dinner.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my
when
God.
They arrived, none of the food was ready. We did it all together.
Yeah. But see, that's like part of the process.
And we had a blast. We spent an hour cooking the food all together.
Yeah, so in my defense, the family he's talking about is all American. He was the only Frenchie.
But see, I think we can learn from that. Because it's like, to me, it's the quality of time that you're spending with the person that you're with. So unlike us Americans who like to rush through everything.
Okay, I'm outnumbered here.
Sounds amazing.
I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to let Eric get back to never rush a meal. Okay, go ahead. Continue. Sorry.
Pete, if you have the chance to be lucky enough to be invited to a French family for dinner, you know, at their house, you will certainly spend several hours at the table, like 2 or 3 hours. And that would be just enjoying the food coming over, talking about the kids and family and work, and having a little bit more wine, and having a little bit more food, and then chilling a little bit. Maybe someone will play a little bit of music, and then you would get up.
Okay,
and
going here's what I need to do. Eric, I think I just need to do it with you. And I think that's the key. Like, it's just going to be me and Eric. Then I think I'll be fine with
like
all that.
I think you'll like it more. I think
all right?
You would.
Yes. Okay. You know what we will start with? We will start with aperitif.
A what?
Aperitif.
Now I need to know what all this is.
Aperitif, it would be like a little Pernod. You know what the Pernod or Ricard? You know what ouzo is?
I don't know
it's
what's happening.
It's a licorice drink, very popular in France.
Okay.
It's a licorice drink. It's pretty strong, so we dilute it with water. Usually we put like 1/5 of Pernod or Ricard or ouzo and then 4/5 of water. And that's a very good aperitif to have.
Okay, is this alcohol?
This alcohol.
Okay, so it's like a pre...
It's your beginning drink.
Yeah.
Here.
It's you're pre-gaming.
It's an appetizer.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
It's an aperitif. Yeah,
do you have aperitif, it with food?
Aperitif?
So, yeah. We will have little bite. We call that amuse-gueule. So...
Amuse-gueule?
Amuse-gueule. Amuse is to tease, yeah. And girl is the mouse. So basically, you tease the mouse with those little bites.
I love
right?
it.
Oh my God, I'm getting...
And, I'm going to call any appetizer now.
Yeah.
And to tease my mouth.
I'm having an orgy. Oh my God.
That, Pete, will last an hour. Just maybe an hour and a half, depending.
This is excellent.
People also, they never arrive on time. If you invite them for dinner at 6:30...
Oh my God, Amanda's going to fit in perfect.
Amanda,
I'm here for it.
Yeah. If you invite at 6:30 and you arrive at 7, it's okay. You only miss a little bit of the aperitif.
I think I was destined to live in France. Just saying.
Right. But like these appetizers and stuff, like... What is this, like cheese and salami and stuff, or what? What's going on there? What are my appetizers?
Is it a charcuterie?
No, you know, so we do like charcuterie. The charcuterie is big. You know, you will have like dry sausage, saucisson, prosciutto, pâté.
Yeah.
You know, pâté made with usually pork and liver.
This is a lot of meat,
dude. Pork liver.
Pork liver,
wait,
yeah.
There's no cheese in this whole thing. When do you have cheese?
So the cheese, we save the cheese...
For dessert.
For dessert. For the end.
I know more French things than you do.
Wait, what are you talking about? What is this, like sweet cheese?
The cheese comes at the end of the meal.
The cheese is after.
Yeah. So after the aperitif,
after
the appetizer, then you will move, you know, usually you have the aperitif in one area in the house, and then you move to the main table, and that's where you're going to have a dinner that would be 3-4 courses. And that's where you're gonna drink a lot of wine, more likely. And,
this guy knows how to drink.
And you're gonna take your time. And at the end of the meal, the cheese will be served, and then the dessert. The dessert will come after the cheese.
Oh shit! This makes a lot more sense. I was just over his house like 2 weeks ago, and he did put cheese on the table after dinner. I just realized you did that.
I think it's great.
It didn't even dawn on me. Yeah,
Pete, I'm French.
Oh my God, you're such a Frenchie. Okay, wait a second. But now tell me about a restaurant,
wait,
though. Because you're giving me the dinner story at home. But like, talk to me about what?
Well, I do have one question.
Yeah.
So I know like the cheese is for the dessert part, right? But you were also well known for all of your pastries.
Mm-hmm.
When is appropriate for pastries?
So pastry would be after the cheese.
Oh, so you get two desserts.
Yeah. But you take your time.
Oh,
so
this is the best.
Let's go.
You know, that's why you spend 3 hours at the table.
This is like, I feel like Lord of the Rings. Is this like second breakfast?
It is.
This is excellent. You get two desserts?
Pete, 1 year that your sister came to France with me for during Christmas, we celebrate at my mom's house, and we sat at a table at noon on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And we stay at the table until 9 p.m.
No.
I'm not kidding. We spent 9 hours at the table. In between, there were like my nephew that had some friends that stopped by, and they started talking stories, and then someone left and someone came back, but we stayed at the table for 9 hours. We saw that my mom's going to need to go and take a nap, and she was so excited to see that much life around the table.
Right.
That she said, no, I don't want to go and take a nap.
Oh my God, Americans have lost all their culture.
She stayed with us until 9 o'clock. At 9 o'clock, we put her to bed, and then we moved the party to my brother's house that lives next to my mom's house. My two brothers live next to my mom's house.
Okay.
And
you pulled out the cheese and the croissants.
No,
let's
but
go.
You know what we did?
What?
We popped up the champagne and
we had
champagne until 11 o'clock.
Okay, I'm moving on, people. Anything else I need to know?
Oh, yeah. The table in France are pretty close to each other. So,
like in the restaurant, you mean? Like the cafes or whatever you said?
The table at the restaurant
are
pretty close to each other.
Yeah.
So just pay attention to that. And when you are with your colleague or friends or family, just try to be respectful and not to be too loud.
Okay. Anything else I need to know? Like any other little bits about restaurants before we move on or what?
Oh, please don't ask for ketchup.
Why not ketchup? I love ketchup.
That would be an insult for the chef in the kitchen. The chef has been working very hard. We're very well known for, making the great sauce, right?
Yeah.
And asking for ketchup would be it would be an insult to the
chef. I think ketchup is an American thing because, like, in Argentina, Gabby, taught me a long time ago. Like, her mom would make authentic Argentine dishes and she'd be like, never ask for ketchup.
It's because we don't have it in our American house. American food is bland.
Well, I grew up with an American mom.
And when you go somewhere else, it's part of the culinary experience that you're supposed to eat it.
Can I defend? I feel like
served.
I have to defend America for a moment. Do you know America is a melting pot? We're not anything. We're French people. We're Japanese people. We're Spanish people.
No, but then
people,
like the French people eat French food.
No, but
the Argentinians
what I'm telling you is the
food.
Reason we made America bland was because there was too many cultures coming together. It was a giant melting pot. So we had to make everything bland. So don't shit on Americans, please. Okay? Let's be a little nicer over here. I like my ketchup.
It still tastes
I like my ketchup on In-N-Out hamburger. I'm just saying, okay?
Pete, I'm French and I'm also American. I'm very proud to
Thank
be
you.
American. I'm very proud. I'm an immigrant. You
Thank
know?
You.
I'm very proud to be American.
Thank you very much.
So I know we're talking about restaurants, but if I wanted to make some French cuisine at home, is there like a French supermarket or butcher or somewhere where I should be outsourcing?
So like you remember Joffrey that we were talking about at the beginning with his special sausages? Like, can you go somewhere to get that or no? Do you have to go to a restaurant to get it here in America?
So you know what?
What?
I recently discovered a sausage at Wild Fork.
Wild Fork? Where is this place?
It's a store that sells frozen meat.
Okay.
That is
specifically French or no?
No, it's organic.
Okay.
But they have a wide selection and it's pretty healthy. And I find a sausage over there that tastes exactly like the one that I was having in France when I was going to watch a soccer game with my dad 50 years ago. And the first time that, I had a bite of that sausage. It really brought me back 50 years ago.
Wow.
That's so Ratatouille. Did you watch Ratatouille? Did anybody watch Ratatouille? My favorite movie of all time, Ratatouille, Disney. I love that. When Ego.
I never watched Ratatouille.
You never watched Ratatouille?
No, I never watched it.
Oh my God, I'm selling out a Frenchman. You didn't watch Ratatouille? Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to your house. We're going to make whatever dinner you want to make.
Sausage. We're going to have sausage from Wild Fork.
We're going to make Wild Fork sausage and we're going to put on Ratatouille. This guy, Ego, he's like the connoisseur? What do you call it? The food critic. And he like takes a bite of the Ratatouille and he like zooms back 50 years until he's like 5 years old. And he's in his house remembering his mom's or grandma's Ratatouille. Same.
Yeah.
That can do that. You did that?
That's exactly what I did with the sausage.
That is excellent. Okay, yeah. So like that whole like same experience, Eric, that you just explained happens for me, but it happens with music instead of with food. Like, Amanda, you know, I totally like, I'm crazy about
Pete
music.
Pete is like real weird about music.
Remember when we did like the whole like opera? Like
Yes. We are very different in this way. Pete totally has a weird relationship with music.
It's not weird.
I, on the other hand, have... I guess, the same reaction,
but
with food.
Might be a little mawkish.
A little mawkish. A little mawkish. Well played.
Right? Amanda, put a dollar in the jar, please. Okay. Moving on, please. Thank you. Last thing on the table of contents we got to get through is, so how do I not sound like a clueless American so I don't go like embarrass myself over there?
That's impossible.
Okay, well, shit. I knew that. But like, whatever. I'm screwed. Okay.
Not really.
Oh, thank you.
Everyone thinks it's a big deal. Just relax. Okay, first I'm going to tell you what Americans do wrong.
Go.
You know, they don't try to speak the language at all.
Got it.
And a few words take you a long way. You know, show that you are making an effort. That would be the first thing, right? Then if you speak some French, don't speak too fast. Otherwise, with your American accent, it would be very hard to understand you.
Okay, but I need to tell you that with your French accent, like, you've done an excellent job here 30 years in America, because I can understand every effing word you say. So, job well done. Shout out to Eric.
I take the compliment.
Yes, you
Thank
should.
You.
Yes,
Thank you.
Absolutely, because I would love to be able to speak your language the same way you can speak English. Job well done.
Another thing.
What?
Do not say we at the end of every sentence.
Wait, what's we? Yes. No, we. We.
We don't do that. Like, how would I sound? How will I sound if I would say yes
after everything in English?
Everything a sentence, right?
You sound like an idiot. Right. Yes, that makes sense.
When is an appropriate time to say we?
If he's hitting just the right spot and you're super excited, you're like, oh, wee, keep doing that.
Stop it, Peter.
I was not thinking about that, but okay. That would be one of the reasons why you say it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
Yes.
Dead.
Thank you. Okay. All right, give me some things we're supposed to do then. You gave me the I'm not supposed to. Just give me the what we're supposed to do. Okay.
Just be patient. Like I said, I've been saying that, you know.
That's sort of been a mantra.
Just be patient. Remember not to try to be too loud.
I'm screwed.
You know, don't be too loud. Learn a few sentences like, excusez-moi, je ne parle pas français.
What?
Parlez-vous anglais? They would mean, excuse me, I don't speak French. But try to use a few words there that makes that you make an effort.
Wow.
Learn a few simple words like bonjour, au revoir, merci beaucoup, avec plaisir, à bientôt.
What do those all mean? I'm going to explain that.
Bonjour would be hello. Au revoir would be bye. Merci beaucoup would be thank you very much. Avec plaisir, it's my pleasure. And à bientôt would be see you later.
Okay, all right. We can pick this.
Five, six words.
Yeah.
If you use that all the time, you know, it will go well. And then with today's technology, everybody has an iPhone. Just download an app. It will help you with the pronunciation. And it should not take that long to learn that, right?
Yeah, shout out to Apple. We were promoting the iPhone there and no Android, so we would like to make sure that we get compensated accordingly, please. Thank you, Apple, for listening.
Oh, wait. But I now have a question
because
we're learning lots of stuff here and I kind of want to keep going. But there's just something I got to know. What about tipping? Like if we go to a restaurant.
Tipping?
Yeah.
We already did restaurant. Did we do tip? We skipped tipping. Go.
We did skip
right,
tipping.
Fine.
Just
what?
Because if I go, I know here,
yeah,
it's like expected 18%.
What do we do?
So, right, you know, in France, Amanda, the tip is included.
Beautiful. In
fact, the
Again,
tax is
supposed
also,
to live there.
We need to move there.
The tax is also included in the price listed on the menu. So whatever you see is whatever you're going to pay. Americans have a reputation, though, of tipping very well.
Yeah, because we tip another 20%, I'm sure, on top of whatever the bill was.
And the servers, they love it, right? So I'm not saying tip 25% or 20%, right? But if you like the service and if you like, you know, what you ate, and just give a tip.
Make an extra little tip.
All right, we can do a little tipping then. Good to know.
Yeah.
All right, fine.
Okay, but what about like Instagram and TikTok? Like, is it okay to take pictures and post?
Look at the millennial over here talking about TikTok.
Well,
and,
again, it goes back
Instagram.
To Emily in Paris because she lives her life on
No, I get it. It's good. It's a decent
social
question.
Social media.
I like it. I'm sorry.
TikTok? And I'm just saying, is it like acceptable?
TikTok? What is that? We don't have TikTok in France.
Nah.
Whatever. Maybe not outside of Toulouse. But you know.
At the end, Amanda, you just use common sense. You know, be polite. And if you think that you are bothering people around by taking pictures and you're taking too long, it's certainly because you are. So just
Social awareness.
Yeah, just either
there
you
it
can
is.
Do it or if
there
you
it
do
is.
It,
he
be
just
quick.
He just promoted the podcast without even knowing it. Have a little social friggin' awareness, people. I mean, we're getting the inside scoop here from Eric. We're gonna know like how to manage our way through France. This is gonna be excellent.
Hey, at the end, you don't want to pretend to be French because you are not, right?
Thank you for that.
You're American, and it's not a bad thing. Most people in France, they like American people. They represent the American dream. Just be patient, respectful. Show respect to the culture that is different than yours. And if you do that, you'll be just fine.
All right, then. Well, I guess you all just did the job for me. I think that's a perfect way to end it. I mean, this was so fun learning about how to behave in France, how to not look so American. And Eric, this is now the part of the episode where Pete gives a few fun facts to the audience that they can remember about France. But I think it's going to be extra good tonight because I'm really hoping that you're going to be able to call him out because he stretches the truth. And sometimes I think he's just like lying.
Why are you still like doing that to me? Okay, I do stretch the truth, but it makes the fun facts
he
even
elaborates.
Funner. I'm an
elaborator. No. You're an embellisher.
Yes.
That's what it
that's
is.
Even
embellisher.
Embellish. Okay. That's like double word of the day. We got mawkish. We got embellish. Let's go. Okay. So number one, here we go. Eric, did you know France has the most time zones in the world?
Yeah.
You know that?
Well, I know that French territory goes all over the globe, right?
Wait.
Because... Oh, my God. He just like totally just,
how,
just
but
spoiled
how does
it.
France...
He spoiled it. Here we go. Because 12 time zones.
How?
Okay. Because of all the French territories, right? Spread across. Where are they, Eric? I don't know. The Caribbean, the South Pacific, South America. They span more of the world than like a lot of people think, right? They are everywhere. Right, all the little islands they own. So there you go. 12 time zones. Let's go, France. Okay. Number two. Did you know there's a law in France that states that every French citizen can request a baguette, even if they can't pay for it? So I guess baguettes are considered essential items like water or electricity here in America. So it's called boulangerie de solidarité. Did I say that right?
Boulangerie de solidarité.
Okay. No, you did not say it right.
Okay, boulangerie de solidarité. This concept ensures that if someone is struggling financially, they can walk into a local bakery and request a free baguette. No questions asked. Is that true?
Not sure. That would be a loophole for homeless.
He's totally called me out. It's ChatGPT, dude. It said it's true.
Yeah.
I got to go try it. We got to try. Okay. We're going to go to France and you're going to try this. Okay. Okay. Number three. Okay.
We're going to go. You know what? In fact, that one,
what?
If we go to France together,
yeah.
The first thing that you have to do when we land in France,
yeah.
You have to go to a boulangerie and I'm going to follow you.
Okay.
Pretending that I don't know you.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to have to say that there is a law in France.
I get a free baguette.
I want a free baguette, okay?
I'll make sure I'm wearing a baseball cap, chewing bubble gum, and wearing my tennis shoes. Right, people?
Maybe I would give you a beret.
Okay, we'll try that instead. All right, fine. Number three. Okay, so French stop signs. You know, like our octagon red and white stop signs? They don't say stop in French. Like, arrêt. They say stop, like in English, like S-T-O-P. Like they use English word stop. I don't know why. It's one of those weird little ironies in a country that like is super protective of their language. That's crazy. Did you ever notice that? Of course you noticed that.
No, but I think that maybe the reason why they did it is they wanted to shortcut on the printing, right?
Like just to make sure. Like,
yeah, stop is
it's like
four
it's like
letters
universal.
And arrêt is five letters. They
oh
saved
God.
The letter.
Oh my, listen to this guy, right? They just didn't want
they
didn't want dumb Americans not understanding what the hell's going on. Okay, so number four. Paris has an entire underground city of abandoned quarries and catacombs. Do you know this?
Yeah, they have the catacombs.
They do. Okay, all right, okay. It's illegal, but sometimes common to sneak down there. So, like, beyond the whole touristy catacombs things, there are miles and miles of hidden tunnels and rooms beneath Paris known as Les Carrières. How do I say that? Les Carrières.
Les Carrières.
Les Carrières. There's an underground movie theater, Amanda, they discovered in 2004. Thank you very much. Where people go down there and like hide and watch movies together. They like brought electrical and plumbing down there. It's insane. There's a whole subculture of what they call cataphiles, like, I don't know, who explore illegally, of course, and host secret parties down in the catacombs.
So I wonder what kind of party they
are. Okay. And finally, fun fact five. Did you know that there's a town in France where it's illegal to die? It's illegal to die. Eric, what the hell's going on? Okay, in a place called... Oh my
That's
God,
where
gonna,
we all need to retire.
I'm going to butcher this. Les Lavandou.
Les Lavandou.
Les Lavandou. And also a town called Sarpouhon. I don't know.
I don't know.
Sarpourenx.
Never heard
Sarpouhon.
Of it.
Okay, local laws...
But Lavandou is very well known.
Okay, it's all right, all right. Nice. Local laws were passed prohibiting death within city limits because their cemeteries ran out of space. It's technically unenforceable, obviously, but still in the books as like a real law. So if you die there, they just like throw your body out of the city. like and like let it rot like on the side of the
I'm
road?
I'm sure they don't let
the
it
hell?
Rot. They
I
don't
know,
let
but
it
it's
rot.
Still funny as hell, right? I mean, America has some dumbass laws still, I'm sure, like on some of their books, like state laws, whatever. Okay, that's all I got. Those are, did I do pretty good?
You did fantastic.
Thank you.
I mean, it is my favorite part of the whole episode. Well, good job, Pete. You got a thumbs up for all of your research.
Good job.
But why don't you go ahead and hit us with the outro and sum this all up for us? With oh the God. Only the important stuff to remember.
As always, let's go. Okay, first, call to action, people. If we want to get more cultured and curious here, let's go watch a French film. Like something super classy. Eric, you got any ideas? Give me something.
Let me think about it. Au chocolat.
Au chocolat?
Would be a very good movie.
Wait, what
to
is
watch.
That? What does that mean?
It's
chocolate?
It's a movie? Yeah.
Oh, it does? Whoa! Look at
it's
so cultured.
It's a movie about someone that is making chocolat in a small town. And everybody get crazy about the chocolate.
Oh shit!
Making.
No, this was like an Academy Award winner.
Yeah, it was.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh yeah. Okay, that's a good call. Like, dude,
it's a fantastic movie.
Look at this
watch.
Guy. Like, really I was gonna say like Ratatouille or Emily in Paris or something. Like, this guy's like talking about like El Chocolat. Let's go. I totally remember that. It just helps with like how to behave, how to figure out French culture, like the whole idea. It's like osmosis, right? Like, it's like figuring out France. Next, like Eric was talking about earlier, like go visit like a local like restaurant or what'd you call it? A brasserie, right? Or a French cafe, like anything local, like test out all these things that you learn, like sit down
or get some like authentic sausage.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Stay off your phone. Pretend you're cool and stuff. And you're going to like hang out and like stay a while. And another good idea would be like follow, like, I know that Eric's not all into like Instagram and TikTok, but like follow like a French fashion like person, and they could teach you a whole
influencer?
Shit. An influencer. They teach you a whole shitload. Like, just follow them, right?
But not Emily in Paris.
Well, no. I mean, that's like more like mainstream. And finally, remember, like Eric said at the beginning, like let the French people lead for all greetings. Like, don't go in with aggressive hugs, no awkward lip kisses. Just go with the flow. Cafe life, slow life. No Starbucks over there. No like hustle. Sit down, sip, chill. Dress like you didn't try. Somehow, you'll still look amazing. Lose the flip-flops. No Old Navy logos. No baseball caps. And last but not least, meals are sacred. Don't use ketchup. No modifications. And cheese comes after the main course. Just deal with it, people. And finally, we'll have some croissant and champagne. And that's it. The simple steps to being sort of sophisticated and not looking like an idiot abroad.
I love it. So, Eric, a huge thanks for giving us the inside scoop and probably preventing us from embarrassing ourselves on future vacations.
And making sure I don't drink a Diet Coke, right?
Absolutely. Because you'll just be showing you're American.
I know. I'm sorry.
Anyways, thanks, Eric, for coming.
Thank you, Eric.
You
were awesome.
Here.
I thought it was excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having me.
I think we need to have you back. I think we need to do a whole nother ep with Eric on, like, you know, like the whole like French countryside, right? And how it's different than the whole like Paris culture, right? Like, we give them get a whole nother vibe going. What do you think? Yeah?
I mean,
would you come back?
Of course I would.
Oh,
back.
I love it. Thank you so much.
I'm here for it. I think it was great. All right. There you have it, dear listeners. Your crash course in how not to scream tourist the moment you step foot in France. Next time you're nervously scanning a Parisian cafe menu or wondering if you really need to say bonjour to everyone, just remember you're now equipped with enough cultural savvy to blend in like a pro. Look, surviving France isn't just about knowing how to order a croissant or how to pronounce rendezvous without sounding like a cartoon character.
Speaking of cartoon characters, and I know we talked a lot about Disney, but you know who we didn't bring up? Beauty and the Beast, dude. The whole thing is in France. Did you watch Beauty and the Beast, Eric?
I may have watched it when I was a kid.
Oh, my God. Belle.
Bonjour.
And Gaston.
Bonjour.
Right.
Bonjour.
Okay, sorry. Continue. Sorry. My bad, yo.
But it's really about embracing the rhythm, the manners, and yes, even the unapologetic directness that makes French life so iconic.
And let me tell you something. Eric is very unapologetically
direct.
Oh,
good.
Oh, my God. Yes, he is.
I think we might need more of that.
It's why I love him.
In society.
Okay.
All right. Well, if you've done our job right today, you're leaving sort of sophisticated, armed with enough insider tips to avoid faux pas, impress your French friends, and maybe even feel a little je ne sais quoi about yourself. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe, leave us a review, and share with anyone who's got dreams of strolling the Champs-Élysées. Until next time, stay curious, stay classy, and when in doubt, just always say bonjour.
Bonjour. Bonjour. Bonjour. Bonjour.